And that the Lord put it on my heart. But in the book of Amos is the first place that I want you to go to, Amos chapter 8. And then if you would also get Matthew chapter number 13, we're going to read two different passages of Scripture, and then I'll introduce the topic, and then we'll dive right into it. Amos chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 13. When you get those, if you are able, please stand as we honor the Word of God here this morning. And I do believe that what I'm going to be talking about here today is something that I know I struggle with, and I guarantee you, regardless of your age, you probably struggle with this in one way or another. I think that today's culture, the way that our society has become, it's almost impossible for us to not struggle in this particular area. Amos chapter number 8 and verse number 11, very popular preaching text. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Notice the famine is not of the word of the Lord, but the famine is of the hearing of the word of the Lord. We are getting ready to ship another 25,000 of the Gospel of John, the word of the Lord, to Bearing Precious Seed Ministry. It will go down to somewhere near the border of Mexico, and I believe that it will reach some souls for the gospel. I believe that your labor will be rewarded, and it will bring forth fruit, and that it will bring people to Jesus Christ. You can go to Walmart and you can buy a copy of the Bible, the Word of God, for less than $5. It's not going to be a nice leather-bound Bible, but it's certainly going to be the words printed on a page. You can, if you already have a smartphone, you can download a free app that gives you the Word of God, and you can actually have access to it for no cost, and you can have all kinds of features that will help you read it. You can highlight it. There are so many tools today in which the Word of God is available and accessible to pretty much anyone and everyone, not worldwide, but certainly the majority of planet Earth has access to the Word of God today. There's no shortage of Bible, but there is a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord. I believe that this prophecy, when it says, "Behold, the days come," there is no doubt in my mind these days have indeed come. Now take a look with me at the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 13. In Matthew chapter number 13, Jesus says in verse 13, he says, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah," that would be Isaiah, "which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive." Watch verse 15. "For this people's heart is waxed gross." Now, I'm not even going to bother to give you the definition. I think that we all could agree that if something's waxed gross, that's not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. "Their ears are waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing." They're not dull because they haven't been hearing. They're dull of hearing. "And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." My message this morning, this is, I know it's the second time that I've preached it in the last 20 years. It may be the third. But I want to talk to you about SADD, sad. Spiritual Attention Deficit Disorder. And I know they changed it to ADHD, Attention Deficit and Hyperactivity Disorder, but I'm not changing my message because people being spiritually hyperactive, that's not the problem today. We need more spiritual hyperactivity. We have more spiritual lethargy. People are just kind of spiritually speaking. But when it comes to attention deficit disorder, there is a spiritual condition. And I want to talk to you the next couple weeks on how we can learn to listen to God. We need to listen to Him. Amen. And we hurt ourselves and our culture and the churches all across America and this world are in bad spiritual condition because of this spiritual condition. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your prophecy in Amos. And Lord, your words of admonition in the Gospel of Matthew. Lord, help us to speak this truth today with your blessings, with your power. Lord, that we would indeed listen to you today and learn how to listen. Lord, if we would just listen to you, we would save ourselves a lot of problems, a lot of heartache, and Lord, we would get a lot of blessings if we would just relearn how to listen to you. So help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is not exclusive of symptoms of natural ADD, attention deficit disorder, and you know, while we're celebrating the upcoming birthday of my wife, I would just mention to this that I know that we've talked about this. She's done some research, and there are some things physiologically that I know her way of processing things would be in that category. And bless her heart, she married somebody that takes forever to make a statement. I mean, and sometimes it's like, hey, will you listen to me? It's like, she's already moved on. And I'm wired this way that I labor a point, and sometimes to say what I need to say, I mean, I got to take you 3 trips around the block in order to describe something. And bless her heart, she's already moved on, and she's, you know, her brain processes things quickly. My brain processes things slowly. And so anyhow, pray for my wife. But some of the symptoms of ADD are failing to pay close attention to details, making careless mistakes in different things in life, such as schoolwork, work, or other activities. Another symptom is difficulty sustaining attention, trouble staying focused during a task, not listening, seeming not to listen when spoken to directly, difficulty following through, having trouble with instructions, not finishing schoolwork or chores. You know what? Maybe I have this. Avoiding sustained effort. Tasks that require sustained mental effort, such as schoolwork or homework. Difficulty organizing tasks and activities. Losing things. Being easily distracted. Squirrel. Or forgetfulness, forgetting to do daily activities. That's just a sample list. I'm sure that the ADHD or ADD, that there are varying forms, how they manifest. And, you know, there are physiological roots to many behavioral disorders. You know, some of these things that people struggle with, they just can't help it. You know, it's just like if you have dyslexia, it's the way that you see things, it's the way that you read, you can't help it, it's just the way that your brain is wired. Right. I'm sure that many of you heard about the atheist who had dyslexia, right? He didn't believe in dog. I guess you heard of that a long time ago, multiple times. Anyhow, moving right on along. There are certain disorders and conditions that people struggle with. We all have our deficiencies. We're all broken in one way or another. But some of these things are just literally physiological. It's just the way that our brain is wired. We can't help it. You can't unlearn it. You can't fix it. You just have to learn how to deal with it. But on the other hand, I do believe that there are some disorders or maybe the way that we deal with things that are the result of emotional or spiritual or even lifestyle dysfunctions. If you think about just the average life of an adolescent, children today, they have all kinds of variety in their life. They wake up in their bed, and then they eat breakfast at their table, and then they get sent off to daycare, and they're around other children, and you know, there are other children who come from varying homes, and they see different behavior, and a lot of times they're trying to keep their attention and entertain them so that they don't misbehave. And then they come home and they got all these different things that are going on in their life that's just activity and variety, not to mention you take the television. I mean, not only do you have 400 channels, but listen, seriously, folks, I do not recommend modern children's programming on television. Even if you find a program that is not like Disney, that's trying to teach a liberal, wicked agenda to your children, and yes, they are. Yep. Even if it's not that, even if it is morally sound, let's face it, everything on these children's programming is hyper, hyper, hyper. And I mean, it's something that's changing to keep their attention. I mean, as an adult, I mean, I grew up with Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner. And that was hyper enough. But I mean, anytime that I've seen children's programming today, and I already admitted I process things slowly, I'm like, I'm not laughing because you lost me. I don't even know what's funny here. But it's just all hyper, hyper, hyper. Parents, check it out. And what has happened between that and then you got cell phones, add the video game aspect? I believe we have a generation, and we have adults and parents today that grew up with what I just described, and they have attention deficit disorder because everything was programming them to not have an attention span. Right. Folks, we have a culture today that nobody has an attention span. Yep. And they cannot sit in a church service unless the sermon is really, really short and stories are told to keep your attention. You know, preachers today typically don't give the amount of Bible doctrine and teaching that they need to, that the Bible says we're supposed to, because they know that, oh, it's just going to be dry and boring and nobody's going to be paying attention. And so we end up focusing more. Most preachers, I've been guilty of it, instead of focusing more on your heart, I'm looking at that clock. Because I know that clock is ticking and your attention span is doing this. And while I've got the burden to try to give you Bible truth, and I've got what God's given me, and I know I'm going to get to a certain point where it's just a waste of time because I lost you because I went more than 20 minutes. Well, I'll give you a break. I went more than 30 minutes. You know what my average preaching time is? Almost always, unless I just really perform a miracle, I go about 50 minutes. You say, really, preacher? It seems a whole lot longer. We do the best we can with what we got to work with, right? 50 minutes. Do you know that we wouldn't have to go back that many years, maybe 30 years, 40 years back, when I was a preacher boy? I'm telling you what, if you didn't preach in at least an hour, you weren't even a real man of God. And then you go to foreign countries today, and if you don't preach an hour and a half or 2 hours, then they're leaving really disappointed because they want you to keep going. You know why? Because they don't have children's television. You know, you go to these third world countries and they just live more of a life where they just, it's not all of this hyperactivity, attention different stimuli all of the time. You say, preacher, how are you going to fix that? I'm not. I have no hope that this message is going to get you to change your television habits or get rid of your video games. Now, you ought to consider it, or at least minimize those things. If nothing else, you ought to be focused on saying, hey, what can I do to help improve the attention span of my children, besides make them endure 50 minutes of Pastor Mitchell's preaching? The devil has programmed a generation that is addicted to amusement, entertainment. Listen, the attention span is almost non-existent. You've got to satisfy young people and teens with entertainment and activities and short little dialogues. And the sad part is it's not a whole lot different with adults today. So how do I break free from the dysfunction that I'm trapped in? When I was in Papua New Guinea, the missionary took us down. We went on about a four-hour hike up into the mountains, and there was a really, really neat river that had one of these swinging bridges, cable bridges that we walked across, and on the other side was this rock ledge that was pretty flat, and then it was just a small cliff, maybe about 10 to 15 feet above the water, and there was a deep pool right there, but the river was still running pretty swift, but there's little back eddy right here. And so we went swimming, and so we're jumping in and diving in, and we don't know how many, we don't know what was in that water, what kind of critters, what kind of leeches, what kind of, fish with teeth. I just figured I didn't care. Everybody else is swimming, so we're jumping in. But one thing that I tried to do is I tried to swim across the river. There was a little place you could get to on the other side, but I'm telling you what, I am swimming as fast as I possibly can. Of course, you got to point, you're crossing the river, but you got to kind of point upstream because that river's trying to take you down. And I remember I was swimming for all I was worth, and I barely made it across before. I mean, there was a point that if you went too far, it was going to be probably 300 or 400 yards down the river before you could get off. I barely made it, and I was so out of breath. And you know what, folks? When it comes to dealing with attention spans today, our whole culture is like that swift current, and it's going to take a lot of effort in order to swim upstream and to say, I need to get my life changed so that I can actually listen to the words of the Lord. We're in a famine. People aren't hearing. There are some reasons. Some of it's a heart issue, but some of it is just we are so programmed to not pay attention. And until we break free from that dysfunction, it's just gonna continue to get worse and worse and worse. A couple points here today. I've got some of the more important points, I think, will be next week's message. But a couple things just to start with that I believe we can do to break free from our spiritual attention deficit disorder. Number one is to take inventory. I don't generally keep a checkbook anymore. Most of my banking is online. I have some apps and some programs where I'm able to use my bank to do bill pay. But every morning I get this app and it gives me all of my transactions that posted to the previous day. And I'm pretty diligent about that I check that every single morning, and I know what I've spent my money on, and I know what my wife spent her money on. I'm sorry, what my wife spent my money on. I'm able to keep track of that. I'm able to go to my bank account and see how it's affected and make sure that there's no mistakes. And so I can do that literally in just a few minutes every morning. And so I do that as I make my coffee and I sit down as I'm sipping my coffee. I take care of that every morning. If something comes up and I miss a day, then the next day I do it and it only takes 2.5 minutes instead of a minute and a half. And so I'm able to do inventory, but I can remember back in the checkbook days that if you ever got busy, you know, you don't usually take time to balance your checkbook as you're in front of a the cashier as you write them a check and you tear it out. And so back in the day, sometimes it would go undone. And then it's like, you know what? I better balance my checkbook because I don't want to bounce any checks. You know, especially back in those early days when you had kids and you had to stay very on top of it because you didn't have any money in the bank that wasn't already spoken for. How many of you remember those days? I won't ask you if you're in those days. But my first point is to take inventory. Take inventory of your time. What do you got going on in your life that is so important that you can't take time to listen to God? I understand a lot of times we have to work, and sometimes you have a job that you're required to work overtime, and sometimes you got to work 50, 60 hours a week. I understand and I get that. But there are also things that if we would take inventory, we've all got 24 hours in the day. And nowadays, pretty much every one of us are busy in one way or another. And if we would take inventory, we might find that there are some things that we have accepted as a part of our life that really are just attributing to the dysfunction that we're trapped in. Value your time, a wise man once said, for that is the stuff life is made of. And oftentimes we allow our culture and we allow the pressures of our culture to dictate what we put into our day. And a lot of times if we would just take inventory and say, you know what, I've got all kinds of time, I just didn't realize it because I'm just going with the flow of our culture. Parents, you have demands that are placed upon your time if you're raising children. But let's face it, a lot of the things that our culture says that you need to do as parents. I mean, our culture today, if you've got kids a certain age, the culture says you got to be dragging them to a ball game every single day. And if it's not a ball game, then it's practice. Listen, I'm not against ball. I grew up with sports. I think sports are an important thing. Or they're a valuable thing. They're a tool to instill some characteristics. But nowadays, listen, when I was a kid, we had one season of Little League, and then, you know, we'd play sports with neighbor kids. But now it's organized sports 365 days a year. The season never ends, and there is a pressure from our culture that you have to do what everybody else is doing. And all it's doing is contributing to the dysfunction that we're trapped in. Discipline your time, and you'll discipline your life. You say, preacher, I'm not good at that. Well, you have my compassion, because neither am I. Neither am I. I have a hard time disciplining my time. I can do really good for a few weeks, and then I get off track. And you know what I have to do? Same thing that you have to do. I have to get back on track. Sometimes I have to keep a list. And you know what? The reason that I got off track in disciplining my time was because I forgot. I stopped looking at my list. And I go back to that list. And you know what? Sometimes you make a list. You say, hey, here's my day. And then you find out this isn't working. This is too much. I need to move some things around, or I need to reduce this. You know what? You figure out what works for you. But make sure that you're not cramming your day full of so much stuff that you don't have time to listen to God. Because listening to God, what is there in life that is more valuable and important than listening to God? Is listening to the news more valuable than listening to God? Is doing anything that's not, if you are not listening to God, and you're doing all that other stuff, then you need to do inventory, because doing inventory means also making priorities. And don't be pressure-led, be spirit-led. Talk to God. Say, God, I haven't been having time to listen to you. Would you help me as I take inventory? Show me what I need to just clear out so that I can spend time where I'm just totally focused on you and not on anything else. I think I have some spiritual attention deficit disorder. Sometimes when I'm spending time in prayer, talking to God, I have a hard time with my thoughts going this way and that way. And sometimes I start thinking, listen, if there's something on my back burner, I can procrastinate it and I can ignore it for months until I'm spending time in prayer, and then all of a sudden it's nagging me and it's just like, I've got to go do this and get this done. And I walk away from time with God and go work on that. And it never works out. It was okay being undone while I was doing something else. It didn't bother me, it didn't nag me, but as soon as I started talking to God or listening to God, now all of a sudden it's a big issue. Take inventory. If you can balance your checkbook, you can balance the priorities of your time. Number two, take your Bibles and go to Psalm chapter number 4 with me. If you're not real familiar with the Bible, it's right about the middle of the Bible. You'll find Psalms. If you just kind of close it and maybe a little bit to the... If you have a concordance and a bunch of stuff in the back of your Bible, you'll want to go about a third way in from the beginning. But if you don't have all that, it's about halfway. Psalm chapter 4, and look with me in verse number 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Wow. Who does that anymore? Who is ever just communing with their own heart? Listen, I'm not talking about talking to yourself here. You know what? Communing with your heart and being still means that, hey, if you don't have time to think, then you're not going to have time to listen to God. Listening to God requires attention. It requires to engage our mind and actually be thinking. Listen, how would you like to be talking to somebody or be in a conversation and them getting all kind of weird and emotional with you? I had a charismatic guy who owned a camp facility we took our college and career kids to in Idaho, and we had a young lady who we didn't know she had seizures. And middle of one night, you know, somebody runs to our cabin, knock, 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 Mr. Mitchell, so-and-so's having a seizure. And so it's in the girls' cabin, so my wife gets up and she rushes to see what's going on. And it's like, wow, this is a bad seizure. And we're in the middle of nowhere in the mountains in Idaho, and I didn't even know where the nearest hospital was. So I found the owner of this facility, who was also very charismatic. And I won't mention his name. I said, we've got a young lady that is having seizures. And I'm wanting to ask him where the nearest hospital was. And this guy, his eyes go back in his head and he starts chanting, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. So I'm just standing there like, well, he's going to get through this here. And he just kept, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. And finally I just reached and I kind of grabbed him by the shoulder, not maybe a little aggressively. I said, hey, where's the nearest hospital? And he snapped out of it and told me where the nearest hospital was. Thank you. And I walked off. Now I understand that, hey, he had placed an importance in prayer. Even though I'm not of that persuasion, hey, I'm not being critical of that. But I'm simply saying that sometimes we think that our communication with God has to be like we go into some kind of an emotional trance while we're worshiping Him. It is not that way at all. We just, in Sunday school, we just saw a dialogue between Moses And God Almighty, when God was getting ready to judge Israel and wipe them out, and you know, I don't believe that Moses was going, "Oh, God." I think that Moses was talking to God in conversation, just like a father and a son would talk. My son talked to me the way that most people talk to God. I'd probably just go, hey, I'm right here. Just talk to me, son. I don't need all of that fancy nomenclature. I don't need you to change your tone. I just want you to talk to me. And I believe that if we would do that and be still, then we could commune and we'd actually have something worth saying to God. Be still. Stand in awe. Commune with your own heart. Stop hiding from yourself. You know, it's so easy to try to talk to God and try to approach Him the way that we think He wants us to talk to Him. And a lot of it is just a bunch of religious nonsense that God's not impressed with. Oh, thou our Father. I can't imagine when my son was at home and he wanted something from me, if he came up and says, "Oh, Papa, wouldst thou please let me drive the car?" And I would say, "No, son, because you're talking to me like an idiot." Stop it. Look at Psalm 46. This is another. You know, I only got one more point left, and if I get done here, I'm going to be less than 50 minutes. Just in case you're wondering. Psalm 46 and verse number 10. "Be still and know that I am God." You know, doesn't it seem to you like that maybe that's a backhanded way of God saying that we're not going to know God if we're not able to be still? Right. To just be still, relax, not be so busy, not have all this hyperactive attention deficit disorder going on in our brain, and just learn how to be still and to know that He is God. I think that's an important truth. I struggle with that. I have a tendency to be busy, busy, busy. I always have something that's on my list or on my brain, and I have a difficult time clearing my mind. But listen, I hope that you don't think that preachers should only preach truth to you that they have mastered, because if that's the case, I'm definitely going to be preaching shorter sermons in the future, because we all struggle. I am the same as you are. Just because I have a responsibility to stand up here and to preach and teach doesn't mean that when I walk down out of this pulpit that I'm just like you are and I have the same struggles and I have to deal with my own mind and my own nature the same way that you do. But David said, and God saying through him, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And my last point, number 3, is to expose your heart and mind to the Word of God daily. Expose your heart and mind. Now, I'm all for having a systematic Bible reading where you read the Bible daily. But, you know, there's reading the Bible, there's studying the Bible, there's memorizing the Bible, meditating upon the Bible. Listen, however you do it, do all of the above. If you don't have time for one, at least do something so that every day we are exposing our heart and mind to the Word of God. The Word of God is like food. It's like meat that we chew on. Listen, sometimes, do you ever go to a restaurant and order a steak and get a bad one? Sure we do. It's not always the restaurant's fault. It's not always the cook's fault. Sometimes it's the cow's fault. Sometimes it's the rancher's fault. Maybe they didn't treat the cow right. You know, there's things. I walk into some of these steakhouses and they have this display where you can choose your own steak. They asked me here a while back if I wanted to do that. I said, no way, because then if it's tough, I have to blame myself. If you pick it, I can blame you and I can get another one. But if I pick the steak and it's tough, then I just like, well, hey, I picked it. Sometimes you get a gristle. How many have ever been eating a steak and you got one portion that's a little gristly, but you get over to this, you know, usually it's those little round areas. It's like, now that part of the steak was really good. You know what you do? Sometimes you just have to deal with it. But I'll tell you one thing. I would rather cut out some gristle or chew on some gristle, swallow what I can, what I can't, spit it out. I would rather do that than for somebody to take my steak and put it in a blender and turn it into a steak shake and then drink it through a straw. That just sounds disgusting to me. Modern church today is a steak shake church where they just want it all blended up to where all you have to do is just put your lips on the straw and you get it. You don't get to do any of the process because the process requires some attention. The process requires being still. And sometimes people, I read my Bible today, I didn't get anything out of it. Keep it up. You know what? 2 days ago, honestly, 2 days ago, I know I ate all day. My wife feeds me good. I don't remember what I ate 2 days ago. Maybe you don't either. Sometimes it's like, yeah, I remember I ate lunch, but you know, not every meal is going to be memorable. But if you don't eat it, you're going to get hungry, right? If you go hungry for very long, you're going to get weak. And it's the same way. Expose your heart daily. Jesus said, Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, we have bad ADD in America today, but you know what? Most people have enough attention span to stop and eat breakfast or lunch or supper, dinner, whatever you want to call it. By the way, the chicken stew was phenomenal at the Warwick's and Nicholson's last night. It was just incredible. If you've never had chicken stew, wow, it was good. But listen, we have enough attention to feed our face. Certainly, we have enough attention to expose our heart and mind to the Word of God daily. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, he humbled thee. Speaking of God and the children of Israel, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You know what? He let them get hungry so that he could feed them with manna. Maybe in this culture that we're at today, maybe he's made us hungry with the famine that we're dealing with so that we can go to him and get the manna that will sustain us spiritually and help our relationship with him. I think about King Saul, and if you know the story about Saul, there came a time in his later life where he's getting ready to go to battle. And the Bible says that the Lord had departed from Saul. The Lord was with David. In essence, God had fired Saul, but he was still in office. In fact, he was still king, I think, for about 17 years after God fired him. That'll tell you something about God. Just be patient. God will deal with it when it's his time to deal with it. But you know what Samuel did? He went to the witch of Endor and he called up Samuel, or had her call up Samuel, so that he could ask Samuel what he should do. And you know what Samuel basically said? Why have you disquieted me? It's like, why would you want to hear what I have to say? You didn't listen to me when I was alive. And you know what? Oftentimes, we're in the same, I gotta say I'm guilty of this. It's like, Lord, you haven't been speaking to me. And the Lord's like, yes, I have. Maybe it's not been all fireworks, and maybe it hasn't been giving you an emotional experience, but you know what? There are times where God says he's going to let us go hungry so we'll eat the manna. Manna wasn't something that they craved. In fact, they started saying, our soul loatheth this light bread. But you know, if you're running around in a desert in the wilderness, they even got tired of quail. God took care of them, but he made them hungry so that he could prove them, so that he could test them, so that they could learn that they've got to trust him instead of worrying about, am I going to get my favorite meal tomorrow or even today? It's like, hey, it's enough. It will keep me strong. It will keep me healthy if I just eat the food that God's given me. And folks, that's where we're at today. We think that every church service, that every time that we worship, that every time that we read the Bible, that if it's not some wonderful emotional and spiritual experience, then it's just not worth it, because after all, everything's got to be entertaining and it's got to keep my attention. And sometimes it's just we need to just read it. You know, if you read it long enough and you're looking for God in it, it won't be too long until you'll come across something. You know, you can even find good stuff in Chronicles. You can. Now, there's some chapters that I've never found anything good in them. I hope that doesn't disappoint you. You know, so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. There are some of those chapters I've never gotten anything that just was meaningful to me personally. But you just keep reading until you get to 2 Chronicles 7:14, but my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. It's like, wow, that's the revival verse right there, and it's in Chronicles. Conclusion. I got to hurry because I'm almost at 50 minutes. What do I do, preacher? Well, here's my advice. Clean out your garage or your closet or your desk. Now, you say, is there a spiritual? No, I'm talking about your garage or your closet or your desk. I'm talking about something in your life that is cluttered and in disarray, and it's been like that so long, it nags at you. You know you need to straighten it up. You know you need to organize it. But you just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off until now you ignore it because you don't even want to face it, because now the job is overwhelming. You know what you do? You just start doing it. You will find that if you'll take one little project like that and just do it, then you'll find, wow, that made me feel so good. That'll give you momentum. And it might actually help you organize the spiritual things in your life. Get rid of some junk in your life. Set it aside for a while. Learn to read. Learn to think. Learn to listen. Get a life. God is speaking. Are you listening? I don't think God stopped speaking. I just think that we've stopped listening. You ever tried to talk to someone that you didn't know it, that they had earbuds in and they were listening to music, and so you're talking to them, it's like, why are they ignoring me? Well, it's because they're not hearing you. You ever tried to hand a tract to someone, a gospel tract, and as they're walking by, they don't even acknowledge you at all? They're trying. I've seen people, when we hold our our gospel signs on the street, and they come up to, they really pay attention to that white line, and they make sure they don't get too, every other time, they get past that white line, and they're right near the stoplight. But boy, they hang back, and they obey the laws if you're standing there with a Jesus saves sign. If they don't want to look at you, and they just get very focused on the road ahead of them. You know why? Because they don't want to face it. They don't want to know. I believe that's dangerous territory to be. If people would treat us that way and say, hey, I'm just not going to pay any attention to you, why do we think that it's okay for us to treat God the same way when He's speaking and our ears are just dull of hearing and we won't pay any